about.
And the winner is, well, the time has come.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You know why I pulled you over?
Because I was speeding?
No, because you're black. We're supposed to pull people over if they're black. I'm supposed to hit you with this now, okay?
What? No way!
Yes, Ray. Please get on the gun so I can beat you.
No!
Come on, I'm just trying to do my job.
Look, man, you can't go around beating people with clubs.
Well, maybe you can, but I'm LAPD. I have a quota.
And now,
what was it we had for dinner tonight?
Well, we had a choice, steak, fish.
Yes, yes, I remember I had lasagna.
Our feature presentation.
That is two things that I miss right there. The retarded policeman, where has he been? And the great Leslie Nielsen, where has he been?
Why is he
not making any movies anymore?
We have one answer for you, but
I know he's old and all, but he's still got it. He's still talented. It still seems like he should be out there making funny movies, right? Mm.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think he's got a lot, to be honest with you.
Don't take that much time off at your age, Leslie, because you never know how much time you have. I'm just saying.
He's taking a lot of time.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. I'm complaining because he hasn't made a movie in so long. I'm just saying, treasure every moment, Leslie Nielsen, because you never know when the bad news is going to come.
That's usually Bean's motto, is treasure every moment.
That's yes. What I'm about.
That's what he's known.
It's Thursday. I guess it's the 7th of... Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
I'm fine. I like that.
This is my month. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying this.
Yes, it is. Here's a wacky story before we get started on today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. And I don't understand this. Of course, I'm not technically a medical doctor. I think, Kevin, you might be.
I am, yes. Thank you.
This is a woman in Romania who was having some pain and went to the hospital. And they checked her out and did some tests. And they said, we got bad news for you. You got an abdominal tumor. But there's nothing we can do for you. So, you know, here's some medicine for the pain, but go home. A few days later, she is really in pain. Her back is starting to hurt. And she goes back to the doctor and they say, wow, we better run some more tests on you. They do an ultrasound. They do all sorts of blood tests. They do everything they can. They say, wow, we blew it with the abdominal tumor. The good news is you don't have that. The bad news is you've got kidney disease. No wonder it hurts like that because you've got kidney disease. So they gave her some medicine for that and sent her home again. Well, it turns out she didn't have an abdominal tumor, nor did she have kidney disease, because when she went back to the hospital again for a checkup, she ended up giving birth in the hospital, in the bathroom.
Wait.
And she was, in fact, pregnant and delivered a full-term baby.
So now, she had been to the hospital and got that diagnosis when she was 8 months pregnant or something?
Yes, yes, yes. 8 months plus pregnant.
Wow.
Right? Two different times she went to the hospital, got all the tests, including an ultrasound, by the way, which I don't know. That seems like that's where a pregnancy might be tough to miss.
Is it an invisible baby?
I saw her on the TV with the baby. It looked like one of the regular ones, the ones that you can see.
That's not a surprise you want.
No, and that's also not a hospital I want to go
to.
That's not a hospital I want to trust with. I'm no longer flying to Romania every time I've got a pain in my belly. I'll tell you that.
They don't seem like they're adequate. They're giving adequate medical care.
She is 41 years old and had been pregnant three previous times. Has three previous kids.
And so she knows what it feels like and all.
Not a clue. I know. And I know from time to time, and maybe it's time to revisit this topic, from time to time we have done You Didn't Know You Were Pregnant, which is, you know, to women who it hasn't happened to is shocking and unbelievable that you wouldn't realize the changes that are going on in your body, the things that are happening and the things that aren't happening.
Right.
But remember the day I went in when I had the tube in my eye come out, when I went to the emergency room? Remember, there was a woman in that day. There was a teenager who was having a baby who did not know she was pregnant. It was happening practically in front of me that day at the hospital.
That's crazy. Do you think some of those are just people that are desperately trying to deny the fact that they are, or really literally are surprised completely?
I bet there are some of the former, especially the teenagers,
right,
who say, it can't be, I'm going to wish it away.
But this woman went to the hospital twice.
Yes, and she's 41, And she's had three previous children, so she certainly should know what it feels like to be pregnant, right?
You think in Romania they just go in another room and spin a wheel?
Yep.
That's a kidney. Congratulations, here's some medicine.
I don't feel great about the prenatal care that this woman got, considering she didn't know she was pregnant until the day she was having, you know, giving birth. She thought she might be passing a kidney stone when she went in there, by the way. It started to hurt
Babies come out of your kidneys?
No, but that's what she was expecting to see, and instead she saw a little head.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
That's bizarre.
Anyway, that's our medical mystery from Romania today, so don't do that.
Don't do that. It's good advice. I know a lot of people are planning it.
Don't not know you're pregnant and then go to Romania and have a baby. If you take one thing away from today's Kevin and Bean show, that's our advice to you.
All right, let's talk about the show, shall we?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
The Kevin and Bean show today is what we're talking about. We have Ask a Dream Interpreter on today's program. So if you have some bizarre dream that you had or keep having, you can certainly call in. And apparently this person will be able to tell you what it means.
Do you put much stock in dream interpreters in terms of their understanding of what's going on in your head when you tell them what you're doing?
I don't know.
Or is it
much.
All made up? Is it just people who sat down and said, all right, we're going to assume that if you see a grizzly bear, it means your grandfather. And they just make a checklist of whatever they're going to start telling people.
I think there's probably a little more to it than that, but not much. I don't know. It's hard
to
say.
It's just that so many dreams, and I'm one of these people who sleeps pretty soundly when I can finally get to sleep, so I don't remember very many dreams. But some of them are just so unbelievably random that you sense that they don't mean anything in real life. It's just your mind playing tricks on me, like the ghetto boy said.
Sure.
So I don't know. I don't know that I believe any of it. I think the whole thing could be a made up art.
I've had a recurring dream where it happens about once every 3 or 4 years, and it's exactly the same as the last one. Same setting, same people, same things happening. So that's weird, right?
Will you run that by the guy?
Yeah, absolutely. It involves you and I in bed. I mean, if that's cool with you. If that's all right with you. We have the star of Hannah. Her name is Saoirse Ronan, and she's a scary little girl.
Yeah.
She's a little blonde that's killing everyone in the movie.
Yes, she's a killing machine.
So good times there. We have the director of Night of the Little Dead.
That's what I'm talking about.
Frank Ippolito. Night of the Little Dead. Little people... zombies.
Yep.
What could be better than that?
I was afraid it was that.
Yes.
And how is that not going to be a recurring dream that I will now start having effective today? Is midget zombies. Come on.
We're going to talk to Jeremy Wade today about river monsters. I don't know if you watched that series, but it's fascinating on the Nat Geo channel.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the fish that I have seen in the promotion for that series look like they're Steven Spielberg special effects. They're just, you know, giant, like 60-pound fish with a huge mouth full of teeth. It just looks like that thing can't be real.
And like two
right?
human legs on the back. You go, hey, what's happening here?
I know.
This is weird.
And what gets a guy to go down that path where he travels the world looking for those things in the water?
That's a bad job, yeah. Except, I mean, maybe he's a biologist or something or just is interested in that. But, yeah, I don't want to go there. Wherever that is, I don't want to go there.
Yeah. Or Romania.
And we also have some new Beastie Boys music for you. And we're going to talk to Adam Horowitz on today's show.
Excellent.
Wow.
That rock on today's Kevin and Bean show. How about that?
Good.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
If you're one of the people who has been begging for a new Bill and Ted movie, we might have an update on that for you coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean show. Ralph, you're the movie guy. Do those people exist? Are there people out there who are just seriously jonesing for that series to continue?
God, yes.
Really?
You've never been to Bill and Ted Con? See all the guys dressed up in costume, walking around like phone booth.
I mean, I know, like when the talk started about an Indiana Jones movie, for instance, people just freaked out because they loved it so much they couldn't wait for there to be a new Indiana Jones movie. I just don't know if that level of passion exists for the Bill and Ted franchise.
I do not believe it does.
But apparently, it is happening. Apparently, that movie is going to be made.
Yeah, I think largely at the sheer emotional force of Alex Winter.
Because he can't get any other work.
Who didn't have quite the career that Keanu Reeves did after that series of films.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we will discuss coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some passes to a red carpet world premiere of a little motion picture that I like to call Scream 4.
Yay!
Return to the original cast. You got your Courtney Cox, your Nev Campbell, your David Arquette. Wes Craven has returned. Kevin Williamson, the creator of the franchise, has returned. So everybody's back on board, along with the brand new cast members like Hayden Panettiere. If you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere of this feature film, which will happen at Grauman's Chinese Theater, perhaps the most historic theater in the history of these United States. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers to get through. We'll get a pair of passes to attend. And don't worry if you don't win, because it's in theaters everywhere on April 15th. You can check it out. Meanwhile, let's take a look at showbiz news. Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the star of Law & Order SVU. She's a new mom. She's got a brand new baby girl. She and her husband, actor Peter Herman, adopted a baby named Amaya.
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 Hmm.
She was born about a week ago, so congratulations to those guys. A lot of hubbub about the kind of coin Bristol Palin's pulling in.
She's still
as
pulling in
as a public speaker. Oh, yes, Kevin. Oh, yes, she is.
Really?
You hire her to come talk about not having sex.
Right, about abstinence.
Right.
About how to not to get pregnant as a teen.
Because she would know about, oh, wait.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What?
Who looks after her baby when she's out there doing her abstinence speech?
She was hired by a nonprofit group to make these speeches. Last year, she pulled down $262,000.
Oh, that's not possible.
First of all, we've seen her speak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's not good. Remember that PSA she did with the Situation?
Oh, sure. It's terrible.
And secondly, as we've already mentioned, doesn't really obviously know that much about abstinence and or preventing teen pregnancy.
She knows the opposite of that.
Yes. It'd be like having Kevin go around and speak around the country about firework safety. That's what I'm saying.
How dare you.
That would be the similarity, I would think.
Now, is this a scared straight situation where, you know, like you get the guy who's in a wheelchair because he drank and drove and that's what happened to him? Is that what Bristol Palin's speech is like? It's like, look, I did not listen to my own advice and I got pregnant and here's what it's like having a baby and being a kid and please don't do that. I mean, is that what they're trying to do with her talk?
I guess. That's what Neil Call, who is the founder of the nonprofit that hired Bristol, says. Bristol did a tremendous amount of work for us in many, many days and weeks. She is a lightning rod. Everyone's familiar with the Palins, and Bristol turned out to be, as someone said, the gift that keeps on giving.
Easy.
That's what the boys say, too.
That's how she got the baby.
It's like Bean giving speeches on how to make friends.
How?
You know what I'm saying?
Dare
it's true.
You.
I'm just saying you may not want to go to these people.
Maybe the wrong person.
But even if she's good at her job, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, no
it
kidding.
Is.
To make just
yeah,
for
crazy.
Making a few speeches a year. Speaking of big money, Dr. Drew Pinsky back in the news. Mo Money. His new TV series, of course, coming out on HLN. He told The Hollywood Reporter, wait, get this. Come here, get this. This is Rich. Get this. He tells The Hollywood Reporter that he's not addicted to being in the spotlight and never wants his fame or show business career to interfere with his day job of being a doctor. Ah! Oh, Doc, you slay me.
Sweet.
Hollywood Reporter said, yeah, right.
I don't think they're... They would say that.
No, they probably they
should. I totally get the skepticism to that remark, but I do believe that at the heart of it, Dr. Drew really does feel like he's making a difference and is imparting useful medical information. And if he's got a platform and people will listen to him, he's going to take advantage of that, I think.
He does. Of course, I kid. He says he made the jump to media after realizing that he had some amazing opportunities to change the culture. So that's what he's taking advantage of, and he's doing a good job, keeping everybody sober and not pregnant.
Has anyone checked out the Dr. Drew show since he debuted this week?
I have not,
no.
I was going to, but I saw that Psycho Mike was a guest, and I thought, well, I'm not going to take that show seriously.
It turns out that Drew does a show just for me that's piped into my house now.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's got another TV show that's just to me.
Who does?
It's called Hey Ralph.
Yeah, it's a little TV I got in my house, and he's on there 24
I like it.
And we mentioned yesterday that Warner Brothers pulled their trailer for The Hangover 2. And we were wondering why. The Motion Picture Association of America, which rates films, objected to the trailer being shown to audiences and so had Warner Brothers pull it out of theaters. It was playing before the Source Code. And we were speculating why. Why would they pull that funny trailer out of theaters? Well, LA Times got to the bottom of it. And as expected, it was the simulated monkey sex that caused the MPAA to say, oh, no, 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 no. No one can watch that.
I want a good movie.
Well,
so ridiculous. That's so ridiculous.
You want ridiculous? Would you like
no.
a little ridiculous?
Wait, we just heard ridiculous.
My next story is more ridiculous.
That's not possible.
I don't know if you heard the theory the defense put forth for Dr. Conrad Murray yesterday during their pretrial hearing.
I did not.
Oh, no. Kevin. You want ridiculous. The defense attorney for Dr. Conrad Murray said yesterday in court that Michael Jackson was about to go broke. And he had a fear of failure when it came to his This Is It concert tour. And combined with a bad case of insomnia, that's what caused Michael Jackson to take his own life.
He's still holding to the he gave himself the injections,
yes,
and all that?
Yeah. It was suicide.
Yeah.
Didn't Michael Jackson have a $100 million payday just around the corner with those shows in London he was going to do? I mean, whatever. Yeah. If he was broke, that would have certainly solved that problem.
But what if he was afraid to do those shows? Because, you know, he's not used to being on a stage in front of people.
It's ridiculous.
No real experience.
If you saw the movie This Is It, you saw it was going to be a good show.
And, and nobody was more comfortable on stage than Michael Jackson.
That's crazy.
That's where he came to life.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked really healthy in This Is It as well, too. I mean, he looked like he was capable of dancing for 3 hours a night.
Reportedly, after the defense attorney was done with his opening arguments, the judge motioned him over to the bench and then slapped him.
Stop that, ass.
Go back to your table. Today's celebrity birthday is one of my all-time favorites. James Garner, actor who's been around for many, many, many years. I don't think he's acting anymore, but a bunch of TV and movies. Just one of the good ones. 83 years old.
Wasn't he on, I could be way wrong, but I seem to remember, wasn't he on Alias at the end, Ralph? Did he do a role on Alias?
No, sir.
That's not possible to you?
No, sir. Nope.
Then I withdraw the question.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Expect a stronger word and letter soon. Francis Ford Coppola, movie director, 72 years old today. You do Godfather, you're good, right? You can just sit down.
You win.
I gave you Godfathers 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And 3, but mostly 1 and 2.
And then I gave you Apocalypse Now, so now get off my lawn.
I give you that. And I gave you The Conversation. I did that, too. And I make a pretty good bottle of wine.
Is that what he does now?
Yeah, that's what he does. Jackie Chan.
Hey!
He's 57 years old today. Russell Crowe celebrates his 47th birthday. And actor Bill Bellamy. Remember him from Fastlane? Played the famous character Slarg. He is 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a real-life bona fide member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on the show today. Ad-Rock from the Beastie Boys is going to be joining us, and we'll play a brand-new Beastie song for you. Also, ask a dream interpreter and the director of a movie about midget zombies. I mean, that's an action-packed Kevin B. Joe.
What else do you need?
That's a program that I would stick around for. First, though, it's been a long time since I've seen even a Keanu Reeves movie, much longer since I've seen an Alex Winter movie. Those are the two guys who starred back in the Bill and Ted films. Has it really been 20 years since the last Bill and Ted movie, sequel came out? Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I do not carry a great deal of affection for the franchise. In fact, I don't even think I saw it in the theaters. You probably did. You probably saw these movies, right, Kevin?
Yeah, it wasn't for you.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, of course, was a big, big hit, and then Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey came after that, and there's been efforts on and off almost ever since to put that third one together.
We got to cash in on the momentum. So it gets this kind of momentum, you got to go, let's get another one going.
I'm sure that Alex Winter has always been available to say yes, but now Keanu Reeves is on board, and he's actually talking to people about it, and it looks like it's really being made and really going to happen. So we wanted to get some more details for Bill and Ted fans, and we have the great Keanu Reeves back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Keanu.
Ah, yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, indeed.
Ah, yes. Hello. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for joining us.
Where are you?
Yeah, we're doing great. Ah, thank you.
Good. All right, then.
What year did Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey come out? Has it been 20 years? Is that right?
Yes.
20 years
ago.
Okay.
We did Bill and Ted's Bogus Adventure.
Journey. Right. The first one was Excellent Adventure.
Journey wasn't in that. No.
No, it's...
We're the Wild Stallions.
Yes, that was the band, I guess. You were in the Wild Stallions.
Or was it?
It was.
Well, yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
So why, I mean, you've had a tremendous amount of success.
Or have I?
Well, you have, of course, obviously, with the Matrix movies. Why are you revisiting this character? Why do you want to make another movie?
Whoa. Because I believe there are still stories yet to be told about Bill and Ted.
Okay.
And about their bogus adventure.
It's a bogus journey.
Yes, their journeys and their adventures. And I believe that together, Bill and Ted can make a difference.
How's that?
By giving Tibet back to the Tibetans.
Okay, is that going to be the plot line for this third movie?
Nope.
Then how are Bill?
It might be a nice byproduct.
Wait, your movie's going to come out and it's going to be so powerful that China will automatically just give up Tibet?
Yes. That's our hope.
Well, that would be an accomplishment. You might be hoping for a little too much, though.
Next film will be about Bill and Ted writing a song with the Wild Stallions that saves the world.
Oh, I see. That's going to be the plot line?
Or is it?
Well, we were hoping you'd tell us. We don't really know.
Or were you?
What are you going to do about the pip? What? You okay? What happened?
Oh, yeah. I just got a bit of a brain freeze. Slurpee headache.
Okay. What are you going to do about the George Carlin role? Now, that was a pretty pivotal role in the first two movies.
We're hoping George will come back and do the show with us. We'd really like that.
That's a long way.
Loved working with him. And he's
a long ways
welcome.
Back. He's
retired. He's retired.
He's dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry you didn't know.
Maybe we can go back in time and bring him back.
Good.
Like we did in the first film.
Right, in the phone booth.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Wild Stallions. Woo! Whoa.
Is there any possibility this film will be good?
Nope.
Okay, thanks for talking.
So your complaint, Kevin, if I understand correctly, and we'll find out next half hour, is that there's not enough coverage on the royal wedding coming up at the end of the month? That's what you're saying today?
It seems to me like if the wedding is coming up this month, they would have mentioned it.
Oh, instead of talking about it every minute of every day every channel, always, all the time?
Yeah.
More hilarious coverage on the way, and we'll talk to Ad Rock from the B. Boys, thank you, Beerbug. That's all the way from the Kevin Beach Show. First, though, the highest-rated show in the history of Animal Planet is coming back for its third season this Sunday night. Yes, of course, I'm talking about River Monsters. Jeremy Wade is the host of that program. He crazy, and he joins us on the Kevin Beach Show right now. Hi, Jeremy. How are you, man?
Hello there. I'm very well, thank you.
Great to talk to you. What is wrong with you, my friend? What are you doing with your life?
I suppose I'm just very curious. You know, I like mysteries, like anybody likes mysteries. But I've been fishing since I was a young boy, and rivers are a very rich source of mystery. And it's taken me from fishing in southeast England in the local river where I grew up. And, well, it just sort of has gone on from there, and investigating sort of unlikely-sounding fishermen's tales, which, when you look at them more closely, they actually tend to have something behind them.
I like mysteries, too, but I like to see you uncover them for me. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, well, I've sort of, well, you know, I've been a freelance writer for about 25 years, and, you know, the employment there was rather sort of sketchy. So, you know, when the work's here, you know, I've got to go with it, and it's a good thing that such a lot of interest. It keeps me off the streets, keeps me occupied, keeps me stimulated. So I'm not complaining.
Certainly. Now, I'm sure you've had a variation of this conversation thousands of times in your life because of your line of work. But most people, I think it's fair to say, are terrified of what they can't see. It just skeeves them out to think about what could be swimming underneath the water that you could be getting attacked by.
Yes. Well, I think that's sort of the whole point of the program, in a way, or that's one of the main themes. It is about fear. It's you know, people are it's hardwired into us, this sort of fear of predators, things out in the environment that could be dangerous to us. And the thing about rivers, as distinct from the sea, is that, you know, that water is murky. There could be something very close, and you can't see it. Whereas in the sea, you can see things a long way off. Or you know, if you've got say a dive mask on, you know, you can. I've been swimming and I've seen sharks, but they, you know, they've been a long way away, so you can get out of the neighbourhood. But rivers, it's not like that.
Right.
But I think I mean, what we try and show in the program is that. Yes, there are these creatures that might be there, and you don't know that they're there. But it's about understanding them. I mean, some of them are potentially very hazardous to people, but it tends to be in very specific circumstances. You've got to be quite unlucky. You've got to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But if you study these creatures and find out what is the wrong place and the wrong time, then you can, you know, take steps to avoid them and hopefully not end up on the menu.
Now, you talk to a lot of people about rumors. Basically, a lot of this stuff gets passed from person to person to person. Is there a bigger group of exaggerators than fishermen?
Probably not. But having said that, I mean, fishermen, you know, I'm talking about sort of places like the Amazon, the Congo, where they're not doing it as a recreation, even though they do enjoy it, which is interesting, but, you know, they're doing it to feed themselves, and they spend an awful lot of time staring at the water, and they will see things that other people won't, and you know they're not equipped with things like phones on their you know cameras on their phones or anything like that. So you know, occasionally they will see things. And one of the reasons I have a more open mind is that I had an experience myself in the early 90s where I saw something in an Amazon lake, and I told people even around there, I've seen this weird thing, and they just said, well, you know, you're making it up. You've got a bottle of rum somewhere that you're not sharing with us.
Did you have a bottle of rum that you weren't sharing?
Exactly. So that was, you know, that was the implication. And, sure. And so, you know, they were telling me I was hallucinating. And when people say that and you've got no evidence, you tend to almost just file that memory away. You forget about it. Okay, maybe I was, you know, my eyes were playing tricks. But I went back the next year, and a bit of a long story, but I did actually manage to photograph this thing. So I've been in a position where I've told people things, they haven't believed me, then I produced the evidence. And the other thing is, I used to be a biology teacher, and one very big difference between water and land is that a land animal, if it grows too big, it gets to the point where it can't move, it can't feed itself. So land animals tend to have a sort of a fairly distinct maximum size.
Right.
But something that lives in water, you know, the body is more or less weightless. As long as there's a supply of food, that animal can keep on growing. And fish, you know, you do get these odd occasional freaks that are much bigger than you would normally expect.
Now, Sunday's episode is called The Mutilator.
Mm.
And The Mutilator, to me, is not a word that I want to ever use. Tell us about that one.
Right, yeah. We like to have sort of nice suggestive titles. You know, as we've just been saying, a lot of these episodes, they start with stories. This was an internet report, a couple of internet reports, coming out of Papua New Guinea, South Pacific, about a couple of people who had been, a couple of men, who had been castrated by something in the water.
Oh.
And actually bled to death as a result.
How do the fish know that's where to bite?
Well, exactly. I mean, and it turns out that what's happened there is that they've introduced an Amazonian species called a pacu. Now, this is normally a vegetarian, and it normally feeds on nuts that fall from trees, and it's got these very... It's got teeth a bit like a horse, you know, a miniature version of a horse's teeth, with very strong musculature.
Maybe it saw nuts.
Well, that's
just
exactly
went for it.
The trouble is, I mean, where it's been moved to, it doesn't have its normal food supply, so it seems to be going for something that looks similar. You know, it's a sort of a bit of a bit of aberrant behavior. But so we were sort of trying to unpick, you know, exactly what was going on there from those internet reports, which sounded a bit unbelievable at first, but there was a bit of truth to them.
This is the voice of Jeremy Wade on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about river monsters returning for a new season on the Animal Planet this Sunday night at 10 o'clock. Kevin, I think you have a clip of this week's episode.
I do. I think it's about the mutilator.
Nah, those teeth! That will just take lumps out of other fish. It will take lumps out of crocodiles even. And there are stories well documented about taking lumps out of people.
What I'm looking at here is the ultimate piranha. Those teeth, just like a piranha's, triangular, sharp blades down the side, and they interlock. They interlock almost like scissors. They will just cut a lump out. People who think the piranhas are scary, if they saw one of these things, I think their nightmares might be populated by a slightly different animal.
These are worse than piranhas.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jeremy. Thanks for the visual on that. We appreciate it. Hey, we're almost out of time. I have two very quick questions for you, sir, that I'm dying to ask. One is, we always hear reports, speaking of the testicles, we always hear reports about the fish that can jump out of the water, climb up your urine stream, and go inside your penis. Is that a real thing?
That is a real thing, and we actually managed to track down somebody this had happened to, also the surgeon who operated on him, and
awesome,
and also the fish itself, which now lives in a jar in a research institute. And we actually
they kept it alive.
No, it's in alcohol.
All right,
we organized a reunion. Everybody got together 11 years after.
Oh, that's sweet. Everybody, remember those good old days? That was great. Remember that fish swam on my penis? That was so fun.
And the last question I have for you, look, the fish is one thing, but even to find these crazy fish all over the world, I imagine you have to put yourself in some, I mean, you mentioned going to New Guinea, you have to put yourself in some unbelievably dangerous places just to even get to where those fish live sometimes, right?
That's right. I mean, you know, some of them do involve fairly hardcore exploration. And over the years, I've had a few incidents. I was in a plane that crashed into the Amazon some years ago. I've caught malaria. I've been arrested as a spy.
Sweet.
I mean, But you know, when we're filming, we tend to, you know, obviously there's a whole crew there. We there's a lot of planning that goes into it. But we still, you know, things occasionally still depart from the script. So we, you know, members of the crew, including myself, are trained in sort of trauma medicine, that kind of thing. We had our sound recorder struck by lightning on one of the shoots for season three, and you know, the camera was rolling at the time. We just, well, you know, it's happening. We'll just roll the camera, and we'll, you know, that's part of the story.
Amazing.
So yeah, it is a little bit intense at times. It seems
like God does not want you to uncover these river monsters.
Well, they are slowly coming to light.
Sunday night, April 10th at 10 o'clock on the Animal Planet. The show is called River Monsters. Jeremy Wade, thank you for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you very much.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 6:54.
Hey, how about some new music, Beastie Boys? You ever think about that? Ever think about coming out with a new song every once in a while? Would it kill you?
New music coming up soon right here on this
top of the hour. And we're going to talk to Ad Rock as well.
What are the chances? Make Some Noise is the new one from Beastie Boys. And we'll talk to Ad Rock also coming up after the top of the hour. By the way, I mentioned, Ralph, earlier that the Beastie Boys are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And last night, I know you watched the American Idol last night. It was such a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tribute.
Yeah.
That must have sucked.
You know, they were doing, you know, Beatles and Tina Turner and Michael Jackson and artists like that on the show last night. So who do you get to come in and mentor the kids on Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Who's the superstar legend that comes in to tell the kids how to make a career that lasts forever of good quality rock and roll music, do you think, Kevin?
Wow, I don't know.
Paul
McCartney?
Paul McCartney.
Good guess,
Elton John, maybe.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Yeah, exactly. Will.i.am is who they brought in last time.
Sure, what? Well, look at him and all his legendary work.
He's so rock and roll, that guy, man. He sure knows how to make Hall of Fame caliber music.
Poor dude's got a metal plate in his head, and you're making fun of him. I saw in the Super Bowl, and he had a big metal plate on his head.
It's not bad. It's just a costume.
Well, I freaking am. Come on.
And here's one guy who's guaranteed never to be in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, might as well have introduced him that way. All right, brand new Beastie Boys coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll talk to Ad Rock. First, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Meanwhile, I'm getting a lot of emails from people trying to give me suggestions for my Pia Toscano, the woman I'm desperately in love with.
Well, you need one. You're trying to come up with a handle.
I had McPhee-ver, remember, a few years ago when Catherine McPhee was on the show.
And that caught on. Everybody else started using
it. Everybody used it. It was used on the show. Yeah. People in the audience had signs with McPhee-ver written on it, so I felt an obligation to back it up. But I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time coming up with a catchphrase for Pia.
Right.
And Patrick Kennedy wrote this email to me. I've been listening to the show. Wanted to help you create a name for Pia. I don't know if you discussed this already, but I was thinking about Pia My Pants.
Yes, good.
That's pretty strong, huh?
I'd like to see that on a sign.
Pia's one hot little lady, and who wouldn't like a little Pia in their pants? You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yes, we understand.
I assume you would. Surely Kevin would. Bean, I'm not so sure about.
How dare you?
Unless you thought she was trying to lick a postage stamp.
I can appreciate Pia,
by the way.
From the neck down, by the way.
From the neck down.
Yeah, her face is not that good.
You're high.
It's not that good. I mean, she's doing it.
She's
spackling it the best she can with a lot of makeup so that you're distracted by how average her face is. But she does have a killer body.
I haven't seen her, and I'm siding with Ralph 100% on this one.
Thank you. Speaking of spackling her face.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying she doesn't wear that much makeup. That's
right.
What I was saying.
Well, sure. So that's what I'd say, too, if I was trying to pretend she was pretty.
Pee in my pants from Patrick Kennedy.
I'm not sure that's it.
Come on, everybody.
Not sure.
Smile on your brother.
File.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about giving away some more passes to the red carpet world premiere of Scream 4?
Sweet.
This Scream takes place on a golf course.
Really?
Scream 4.
See, because Scream
4.
You hit it, you go 4.
It takes place on a golf course.
How do you do that?
Kevin was so cute. Really? You believe anything.
It took me a while before.
Absolute pure genius.
All right. It was good.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
Stand up and applaud.
This one is top
of the charts.
Okay, top of the charts. Thank you for me.
That is exquisite.
Thank
that
you
is
so
orgasmic. Mozart-like. Just pure perfection.
Yeah,
beautiful.
You're very kind.
All the chemicals are bubbling, and all the equation comes out in the end.
Mm-hmm. Know what that means, but I don't think it was that good.
If you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere of Scream 4, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Next two callers that get through to the lovely Chip, who is answering our phones this morning, we'll get a pair of passes to attend it at the Grauman's Chinese Theater, legendary theater in Hollywood, California. And if you don't get a chance to see the red carpet world premiere, don't forget the movie's in theaters everywhere April the 15th. So you'll get your shot to see it. Just not with all the celebs on the red carpet. Which admittedly is not as good.
Small difference.
But it's still good.
Is Will I Am going to be there?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
As I was listening to Intergalactic, it reminded me of last night's Axis of Awesome show that I went to.
Ah.
Oh, how was that?
It's so good.
Did they do that song or what?
They did a medley of rap songs, parody rap songs, all related to KFC chicken.
Love it.
And Intergalactic KFC was one of them. So it made me think of those guys last night. Tremendous, tremendous show. Lots of our listeners were there in attendance, and they all say hi, and I said hi to them. They were all very nice. And in case the Axis is listening, I do want to admit that, yes, I was the lone standing ovation in the middle of the theater when you thought the guy was just leaving for the exit. That was me. I was standing. I was giving him a standing O.
Wait, and they said, hey, you leaving?
They said, is that a standing O or is someone trying to make their way to the exit? Is nothing more embarrassing than being the lone standing O guy.
Yeah, it's not. You don't want to be that because... You
know, somebody's got to start it.
Right, but...
And you say, okay, I'm going to get up now with my standing O, and then my enthusiasm is going to be contagious, and the rest of the audience will join me in standing O.
And how did that work out?
Not so much. Mm. I end up being just the one jackhole standing up in the middle of the theater.
How long before you sat back down?
I gave it a good 20, 25 seconds.
Wow, that's good.
I said, I'm committed. I know people are going to see me, and they're going to join in any second now. And they say, well, in a couple more seconds, they're going to join in.
Get the palms up. Come on,
I didn't, because I didn't want to beg. I just figured, seeing me would inspire everyone else in the theater.
Wow.
It did not happen.
All right.
You tried. That's a lonely feeling, man, when you're the only guy standing up in the theater. Yeah, it was very awkward. Great show. And they're coming back next month, by the way.
Fantastic.
If you didn't see them this month, they're coming back, I believe it's May 19th. Tickets are already on sale. You can go to largo-la.com and buy your tickets there. All right. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Lindsay Lohan in the news today.
What?
For a reason we rarely see Lindsay in the news for.
Drugs?
A job.
A real job?
A real job in a real movie. Huh. Apparently, she is in final conversations with producers to play John Gotti's daughter, Victoria, in the upcoming biopic about the mobster's life. As previously reported, John Travolta is currently hammering out a deal to play John Gotti himself. And apparently, this is going to be a big budget, big screen, big high-profile movie. $75 million budget, they say.
Wow.
So this could be her comeback that we've all been waiting for.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
The one Dean has been waiting for, at least.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see. It's a pretty good casting when you think about it. I don't know if you know Victoria or not. She had that horrible reality show, Growing Up Gotti,
which
was
about
her and her boys, her sons, and there's a pretty strong resemblance.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd go. I'd watch.
I think she's good, but
when was the last time she acted?
Yeah, that's a great
question. Machete, right? I guess.
Machete, right.
It was in Jimmy's little commercial for his
pretty
weight
funny
loss program.
Yeah. Sad news. Former Social Distortion drummer Casey Royer was sentenced to 90 days in jail yesterday. This according to TMZ. He pled guilty in Orange County Superior Court to one count of being under the influence of a controlled substance, that substance being heroin. The other charges were dismissed by prosecutors. They were child abuse and child endangerment. Damn. The reason was Casey OD'd on heroin in front of his 12-year-old son.
Oh, my God.
Which, if you're going to OD, is not necessarily the way to go.
Not my fault.
That's all I'm saying. It's not Dave's fault, by the way.
That's crazy.
Nothing is. All right, let's get to some celebrity birthdays. James Garner, legendary TV and film star, 83 years old today. Francis Ford Coppola turns 72. Jackie Chan.
Hey!
He is 57 years old. Russell Crowe. Speaking of Australians, he's 47. And Bill Bellamy from Last Comic Standing and Fastlane, he's 46. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Come on with new Beastie Boys. Come on with that. Don't you get the impression as that song played that summer just started?
Oh, makes
like, regardless of what the weather may be like outside, it's now officially summer now that that song is on the radio. Make some noise. It's called Speaking of the Beastie Boys. King Ad-Rock is on the phone. Let's go to him.
What's the time?
It's time to get
Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 is the new Beastie Boys album coming out on May 3rd. You just heard Make Some Noise, Ad Rock, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man? Thanks a lot for joining us today.
What's happening
is new.
I love that intro, man. I wish that could happen every time I went into a restaurant or the deli or something like that.
Any place you go, yeah.
it does announce you ahead of your arrival.
Hey, cut it out. Good morning.
Thank you.
Welcome back, first of all. I know it's been a busy and, in some cases, difficult few years for the Beastie Boys, but how does it feel to have new music out on the radio and get a new album ready to drop? It must be great.
Yeah, it feels real good.
These songs on Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, it sounds like they've had a tortured history. You know, there's been a bunch of them, and then you keep changing around the order and which is going to be on which album, and then one album's dumped, and then another album is... What's going on?
One thing leads to another, and then bada-bing, there you are.
What was the problem with trying to get this particular project together?
What was the problem?
Well, elaborate on that for me.
It's Mike B. All his fault.
Is it always him?
You know, it's this diva type, you know, behavior with Mike all the time.
Sure.
You know, the record's about to come out, and then he doesn't get the Evian water in the dressing room, and then, you know, boom, setback.
It's funny because when I saw the title, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, I thought, well, that's clearly just a placeholder. And then I saw it was the Beastie Boys. I thought, nope, that's the permanent, that's the name.
Well, yeah, the thing is that we had the Part 1 ready to go. And then for circumstances, then it got kind of delayed, and then we figured, because we were going to have it release a Part 2.
Right.
Right? So the plan was, you know, because usually the Part 1 comes first.
Really, always.
Part 2, and then usually if there's a Part 3, that, you know, follows.
Right.
So, I think I'm following you now. I'm tracking.
So basically we missed the deadline on the Part 1, and it was coming up around the time when we were planning on putting out the Part 2. So
are we going to be able to follow Part 2 since we haven't heard Part 1? Is it going to be confusing for us?
No. It's easy. It's, you know, it's like it's not like 24. There's no cliffhangers or anything like that. Like, you can kind of jump in.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Tell me
part
about
one
this.
Will make a lot more sense, though. I'm just throwing that.
Tell me about the song we just heard, Make Some Noise. It just sounds like a throw your hands in the air like you just don't care, just fun, cruising, party, anthem. Is there anything more to it than that, or is that all it is?
Not much I can say on the radio, but,
okay.
But yeah, it's deep.
Listen, do you have...
And backwards.
Do you have a fader on your control board in studio when you guys are making a Beastie Boys record that is labeled distortion, and you just keep turning it up, and there's no such thing as too much?
You trying to say that the record sounds like crap?
No, no. I'm trying to say that it's awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Cool. Hey, listen, guys, I gotta go.
You know what I mean? Look.
Sandwich just came to my house.
There are some who would go, wow, that's really distorted. I sense that the Beastie Boys go, that's really distorted, and it's awesome. Let's distort it some more. That's all I'm saying is you're different than other bands in that regard.
We're very different.
And it's bad.
I just like the way that stuff sounds. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. Let's talk about the video that's out with Danny McBride and Jack Black. And Seth Rogen and Will Ferrell.
Keep going.
And Elijah Wood and Susan Sarandon and Steve Buscemi.
Maya Rudolph. I mean, big name.
Will Arnett, Ted Danson. What's happening?
Keep going. You can't stop there.
This is a 30-minute movie, I guess. Is this going to be shipping with the album? We'll buy one, get both?
I don't know the specifics and the intricacies of these type of situations, but I know that it's a crazy-ass video. I know that basically once you get Adam Yauch started with an idea, a 3-minute video turns into a half an hour with Will Ferrell and all of these people in it. So,
it looks so funny, them rapping and walking down the streets and stuff. It looks like you guys know you sort of have to top yourself video-wise. Do you feel that way, or you just go, let's just have some fun and do it?
It's more about what's the stupidest thing to do, I guess.
I like it.
Pretty much. I mean, that's kind of our bread and butter.
And yeah. Will Ferrell, if I follow the plot from the trailer that I've seen for this video, he's playing you. He's you all grown up, right?
He's me from the future.
From the future. Oh, see, I missed that.
He
okay.
comes back, yeah.
So you're going to end up playing a cowbell. That's what's going to happen to you in the future.
I can play cowbell. I play a pretty good cowbell.
All right.
That the cowbell on Make Some Noise is awesome, by the way. Have you used cowbell on Beastie Boys songs before?
No, I didn't. I didn't play that cowbell. That was Mike played that cowbell.
Oh. Right,
so yeah, but it's my cowbell.
So you own it, but you don't play it.
My personal cowbell that I bought at the cowbell store.
Is there one of those?
You guys been to Cowbell Outlet?
We do.
That's cool. They got all different sizes and things.
That's cool. I didn't know they existed.
Oh, yeah.
This is a... Ad Rock on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Beastie Boys stuff, including the Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, which comes out on May the 3rd. You've been in this band, Ad Rock, since you were 16.
Been in the game a long time, y'all.
Since you were 16 years old, this has been this has been your job, though. Oh, really? You joined even before that? I thought that was when you came in.
Oh, that's when I started. Yeah, that's when I joined this band. But we've been playing music since we were even younger than youngsters.
Do you feel like you've never had a real job? Being in the Beastie Boys.
A real job. Come on, man.
No, you didn't say that as a bad way, but I mean, you really have had this life your whole life. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy the way things worked out.
But I mean, even now you must look around and it must shock you that you guys have been doing this for so long. And I'm sure that there were a lot of people when your first couple of records came out who thought that you would never last, that you were, you know, you were a flash in the pan. And how crazy is it?
We never had a plan like we're musicians and this is what we're going to do for the rest of our lives. It's kind of like everybody else is in a band. We should be in a band and maybe we could get free beers or something. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. And then that, you know. And then, you know, one thing leads to another.
The biggest thing you can
boom, there you are.
The biggest thing you can dream about is free beer. I like
free
that.
Tickets. That's the motivation.
Now, is there any tour planned?
I had all kinds of thoughts on what you were saying before, and now
I completely
forgot. No, there's nothing planned right now.
Excellent.
We're just happy that this thing is going to come out and be out there.
Well, we are too. We're super excited to have it. We'd like to see you as well.
I'm coming around on a speaking tour for my book that's coming out.
All right.
I haven't thought of what it is yet, but when it comes out, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a great book, whatever it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very explicit and tell-all.
All right. Well, we'll stand by for details. The album, again, comes out on May 3rd, Make Some Noise. We'll have Lee Majors Come Again coming up very soon here on the Kevin and Bean Show as well, one of the other new tracks. I can't wait to hear the whole thing. May 3rd is when new Beastie drops. So awesome to talk to you. Congratulations.
Oh, man. Can I give a shout-out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Jen Hall, Gold Star, where the Gold Star at?
Okay. All right. Message received by one person there.
Give our
best to the guys, man. We'll talk to you again. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye. You love the royal wedding.
I
you
do.
Can't get enough.
I can't.
How many days are we counting down till April 29th? How many days till the wedding, Kevin?
I don't know, but they count down every day on the Today Show. Every single day they have a story, and most of the time there's no story.
Because they don't have any access to anybody that's actually involved in the wedding, so they just speculate as to what might be going on with those people, right?
Here's a little bit of the Today Show coverage.
The countdown to the royal wedding has now hit 25 days, and as the big day approaches, we're learning more now about struggles faced by Kate Middleton in her younger years. NBC's Michelle Kaczynski is in London for us this morning with more on this. Hey, Michelle, good morning.
Hi, Anne. Never a dull moment leading up to this wedding.
That is incorrect. There have been a lot of dull moments.
Yes, there have.
Every moment has been dull.
By the way, I don't care about Kate Middleton now that she's getting ready to marry Prince William. Why do I care about her 10 years ago?
Dude, she had a hard life.
Oh, did she?
I don't know. So then they do this story.
Prince William and Kate Middleton exchanged their vows in just 24 days. But should they take a step that's popular here in the States before they tie the knot?
Hi, Matt. There's been a lot of chatter lately about the P word.
Yeah, they shouldn't use that word
in
public.
You know what I mean? That's his wife, for God's sake. I mean, you don't refer to her that way.
Right.
Oh, prenuptial. I'm sorry.
Prenuptial agreement. And is there or isn't there one? Of course, there's no way of knowing if William and Kate have signed one at this point. The palace will not comment on such things.
Then you don't have a story and don't bring it up.
Look, they don't comment on anything. Every single minute of this coverage has been speculation. And this is just a great example of that.
Do we know? We have no idea. Let's do a five-minute piece.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the five-minute piece, let's wrap it up this way.
To sign or not to sign. The very modern Will and Kate will have to choose for themselves, if they haven't already.
F you for doing that whole story and not having any information on it whatsoever.
Well, there's very little going on in the world today that's newsworthy, Kevin. That's, you know that.
And I like that they toss it to somebody in London who knows zero more right. than they know here. They don't know anything about it. All right, Kate's pass. This is very ugly, Bean. I'm just preparing you now.
And now what's causing something of a stir is a new book about to be published that goes into great detail about how it claims soon-to-be Princess Catherine Middleton was badly bullied in school. Now, one of the charities that wedding guests are being asked to donate to in lieu of gifts is an anti-bullying organization. You know, if it could happen to Kate Middleton, it could happen to anyone. One old classmate described her as not having a mean bone in her body. But the lovely, soft-spoken young woman who will one day be Queen of England was bullied in school, reportedly picked on badly for being too perfect and nice.
I know. Listen, it happened to all of us. You're too perfect and nice.
That's what she
was. That's what she was bullied about.
She should try to be not perfect and ugly, and then you'll know what bullying is.
Look, if I'm ever bullied for being too perfect and too nice, I keep that information to myself. That is not something that I complain about.
When she started at the all-girls Downhouse School, age 13, and that she was so miserable, her parents pulled her out mid-year and sent her to co-ed Marlboro, where Kate thrived.
She thrived because she needed the pole. You know?
Excuse me?
Who's with me? All girls school, miserable, co-ed school.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Flourishes.
Well, of course she was miserable. Look how pretty she is and how perfect her life is, Kevin. It's got to be rough.
What about presents, Bean? What do you think presents are, you know, what are people going to get for them for the wedding?
Close friends, it turns out, who would likely give presents anyway, are reportedly now furnished with a wish list from Will and Kate to help set up their place in London and their cottage in rural Wales.
All right. Do they have the wish list? Do they have the list?
Well, they must. They wouldn't have brought it up if they didn't have information to share with us.
There are rumors it could be even food mixers, toasters, blenders, and an ironing board, no less.
An ironing board, no less. So that, those are the rumors.
Look, if they've got a place in London and a country home in Wales already, they don't need me to buy them anything.
Well, apparently you're wrong, Bean. First of all, everybody's going to get them a gift. And second of all, then they go into what past monarchs have gotten for their wedding gift.
The Queen also got a racehorse as a wedding gift, and Charles and Diana also got some Rubik's Cubes and toothbrushes.
I love that. I want to meet the guy that gave Princess Diana and Charles toothbrushes.
Okay, that's actually the first interesting thing I've heard from this
right,
before.
Right, but because it's absurd, right?
Right.
Hey, your teeth are all left up, dude. Have a toothbrush. Maybe this will help. Isn't that crazy? I got tons more, but we don't have time. But
well, that's okay. There's plenty of coverage and plenty of days left to go.
It's coming very soon, people. End of the month. And then we're all going to be glued to our TV at 1 a.m.
Oh, you bet.
Watching like 24 hours of coverage. So that's good.
Deny my dear. Deny my dear.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 7:38.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Ask a Dream Interpreter coming up next hour here on the show. By the way,
no, I lost the number. I can't find it, so he won't be on. He rescheduled.
It's not my fault. No, producer Alex is back today, so the Dream Interpreter will be here.
We can't kill him on the fine.
Well, I had a dream that we were playing banjo music on our show, so I'm going to ask him how that dream. All right, the reason Ralph is clowning on Dave is the King of Mexico is here in the studio. He, as you know, is the assistant producer of the program. God knows how that happened. By the way, is that just you stay around long enough and you're going to get promoted?
I don't think any of us knew.
No. You wait till someone dies and then you just step in.
It's affirmative action.
Start doing the job. You know?
Dave's black, so we had to put him up.
Nobody ever came to us and asked if we approved, so we definitely did not sign off on it, but it does happen. But here's what we found out about the company yesterday that I did not know. They are asking, now, please explain the logic behind this, Dave, and maybe you know more about this than I do. The company comes to the employees and says, we want you to self-evaluate the performance that you're giving us?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a yearly thing, or they do it every so often.
It's a two-part thing. You do it, and then they
evaluate you.
They evaluate you.
Do they evaluate your evaluation after you evaluate yourself?
I hope. Because this has to be magic. But it is really, really in-depth in that there are only three questions.
But what's the point of this, Kevin?
I don't know.
I think it is? I think it's so that the first one is, what are your major accomplishments over the past year? My opinion is they don't know people, and they want to find out what you do.
Yeah. Can we cut you?
They should just change it to, what do you do?
Right.
Can we fire you? Is that possible?
Do we really need you?
Because we'd like to save some money.
I think you're absolutely right, Kevin, because I don't know how far upstairs this paperwork goes, but there are probably people who make decisions about how many people are allowed to work at the radio station who have never heard of Dave and want to find out who this guy is that's drawn a paycheck.
Oh, how do you explain what Dave does here?
How do you explain your accomplishments?
Man, I just wrote number one. That's what I wrote.
Oh, I'm awesome.
Well done, Dave.
I am rad. My job used to be rad.
I'm number one.
That's awesome, Dave.
Number two is strengths. What do you consider to be your strengths?
The bench press, basketball.
Is that what you're looking for?
Comedy?
I didn't write comedy, did you? No, I didn't. This is for the company. And then the last one is areas of improvement / development objectives.
I put all.
Identify the 3 to 5 key objectives you're going to focus on in the coming year.
Vowels. Maybe.
Saying vowels correctly?
Maybe I could enunciate vowels better.
Maybe I could get somebody on the phone so Kevin and me can talk to them at the right time.
Do something right.
I would
once.
Like
improv.
I would like to hear more of Bean's impression of Dave.
I don't do impressions.
We have plenty of time, Bean.
All right, so you filled out the questionnaire for corporate, right?
Yes, this is the
three questions to give. There's also an additional department head questionnaire that you may not know about, and this is coming from your direct bosses. This is coming from Kevin and Bean.
Right,
so there are a few more questions that you need to work out.
Would you consider your foreskin as a help or a hindrance in the execution of your duties? Help or hindrance?
Well, it does make for good conversation and good conversation starter.
But it makes me less aerodynamic.
But you don't need to be aerodynamic.
I get sometimes like wind drift.
You don't move that fast.
Oh, I'm fast. I'm rad.
Not fast.
I'm number one.
Hey, let me ask a sidebar. Let me ask a sidebar question to the foreskin. And that is it a novelty? Is it enough of a novelty that there are girls who want to get with you just so they can see what it's like because they've never seen one?
No, dude. I don't bring it up. No. Hey,
you want to see it?
Have you had foreskin?
Do you like sweaters? Do you like turtlenecks? Sweaters.
Do you like anteaters?
And then this is a follow-up question to that, because you said, would that help in the execution of your duties? In the previous question, did you think even for a moment that the phrase execution of your duties meant you had to kill your duties?
What? Yes. I get confused sometimes by English.
Speaking of which, would you say your inability to pronounce vowels? And by the way, it's weird, because Dave can pronounce all vowels correctly. He just uses them wrong every single time.
Oh, I have to talk to Alex about that.
He thinks they're interchangeable.
He does. He's almost 100% wrong.
I like a nice low bellied once in a while.
Would you say your inability to pronounce vowels has affected your career on the Kevin and Bean Show in a goad or a bade way?
What?
Goad or bade?
Oh, it's always goad. I'm raid.
He does say he's rad all the time, but it comes out raid. On the occasions you've had to step in as producer of the show, mm-hmm. which happened yesterday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Alex was homesick. Your confidence in your performance has remained remarkably high despite your repeated and abject failures. Would you attribute this to A, brain damage? I'm sorry, Bren damage.
Bren damage.
2, medication.
Oh, yes.
Or 3, a total misunderstanding of the definition of the word failure.
I thought he was good. I thought he was good to fail.
Why do you say fail? Why does that happen, by the way? He doesn't speak Spanish.
He doesn't speak English either.
I know, but
well, like, this is what we've always said, is he speaks English as a second language, although it's his only language.
He doesn't have a first language, because he doesn't know any Spanish. So he speaks English, but it sounds like it's a second language, but it isn't. It's the only language he knows. So how does he just consist?
I can speak goad.
I'm raid. And when we point it out to him, by the way, there's going to be a battle. There's going to be a throwdown at some point.
A battle.
And he says this stuff all the time. We point it out, and he looks like, one of these days, I'm going to take you down. He's going to snap. Snape, isn't he? He's going to snap at some point, and he's going to...
I might move from LA. I'm going to move out of LA.
He's going to kill us all. That's what I'm afraid of, when he snapes. If we said, and finally, if we said a wombat could do your job just as well, and maybe even a little better
yes.
than you, would you be insulted or would that be a compliment?
That would be a compliment.
Oh, I love wombats. They're the best. Have you ever held one, Mr. Australian guy? I love them. They're in the zoo in San Diego. I went there like 4 times. He always sleeps. Why is he sleeping? Oh, I'm red. I give myself number Juan.
He says he's red. We're like, why are you red? You're not red. You're brown. What are you talking about?
Let me tell you about tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean show, by the way. Great actor Dennis Quaid is going to be joining us on the show tomorrow. He's in that new Soul Surfer movie. Also, Danny McBride will be here. And, Ralph, I know you're going to be excited. Ben Bailey on the program tomorrow. Hello? Is this thing on?
Ben Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life.
The host of Cash Cab.
Oh, Cash Cab.
Cash Cab.
Cash Cab. Cash Cab. I thought it was the guy who had no friends and It's a Wonderful Life.
No, that's George. That money. That's George Bailey,
Merry
actually.
Christmas, y'all. Savings and loan.
You should anyway, leave with Cash Cab, by the way.
And but I thought Ralph was into that show.
I do love the show, but the name of the host escaped me.
So anyway, all of that tomorrow, plus the movie beat because it's Friday. That's on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get into Showbiz news, how would you like to come see a new movie that the rest of the world won't get to see till October?
October?
No. October 19th
no.
is when Red State is going to be released across the United States. But we're doing a special Kevin Smith Red State USA tour that is ending here in Los Angeles this Saturday night at the Wiltern Theater. Kevin Smith will show you Red State. Then afterwards, there is a Q&A, usually just with Kevin, but because kind of hometown for most of us who are in the movie. It's going to be everybody, the entire cast. Michael Parks, John Goodman, Kevin Pollak, Melissa Leo, Oscar winner Melissa Leo.
Wow.
Myself. The list goes on and on and on. It's going to be a great evening with the cast and creator of Red State. You get to see the movie as well. I've got 2 pairs of passes. I think I have 2. Do I have 2 or I have 1? Let's say 2.
We'll just
make it where it can happen. Just 1. I've got 1 pair of passes. So it's even a harder ticket to get now. And I'm going to give it to a real Kevin Smith fan.
All right.
So here's your trivia question. Kevin Smith, you know, big comic book geek like myself.
Yes.
Boy, we can talk about comic books for a long time.
Yes, you can.
Boy, can we do that.
Woo.
You have no idea.
Boring.
He has written 2 screenplays for big budget comic book movies. Both of them never produced, mind you.
That's how good he is.
He has written 2 screenplays for 2 big time comic book characters. Just name the 2 characters that he's written the screenplays for. 2 comic book characters. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. If you know the name of the 2 unproduced comic book movie scripts that Kevin wrote, then you'll win a pair of passes. It'll be magical.
Hey, nerd!
Nerd!
Come on! Speaking of movies, we've been talking all week about the casting of the 3 Stooges in the new 3 Stooges movie that the Farrelly brothers are putting together. Will Sasso from Mad TV and from Bleep My Dad Says will be playing Curly. Sean Hayes, it was announced this week, from Will and Grace, will be playing Larry. And I said, not interested, not interested, not interested, getting less interested, getting less interested. Then they announced yesterday, Sofia Vergara apparently is going to be in the 3 Stooges movie.
Which
now,
one is she?
Now, she's going to be Booby, the 4th Stooge. It was Mo, Larry, Curly, and Booby.
I'm in.
No, she'll play the love interest, apparently, of one of the Stooges.
Fantastic.
Fantastic indeed.
Yes.
She still has not Mr. Skinned yet, right?
I don't know.
Sofia Vergara
done any nude work or any naked work. I don't think she has. She's done a lot of bikini work. I know that.
That needs to happen now.
Especially in her native Colombia.
Right.
She's appeared. She was basically like a presenter, a TV presenter, a host. And she would do like Wild On kind of shows where she'd go to the beach and just be in a bikini. And
all
just,
right.
Yeah.
That was she's good, a good deal. Lisa, you should be more like Sofia Vergara.
Of course I should.
Yeah. Who should Bean be more like, Lisa?
Everyone.
Anyone else.
A human? Christian Slater's a nerd, just like me and Kevin Smith. He's got that new TV series, Breaking In.
Temporarily.
Fox. How dare you, sir? 3rd time's a charm. America demands Christian Slater on their TV. That's why they keep putting him in TV shows.
Will you punch him in the face?
No, I will not. He is a full-blown nerd. He said he used to have a huge collection of the original Star Wars action figures.
Okay.
But a girlfriend thought that hobby was immature and made him throw them all out.
What?
By the way, those are worth bank today if you've ever held onto your original Star Wars figures.
Even if they're not, and you're a total nerd and it's worthless, you don't throw them out.
He threw them out for her?
How'd that work out?
What do you think happened immediately after he did that?
They broke out.
They broke out. So he's got no girlfriend and no Star Wars action.
Oh, he could use those to live off of now.
Come on! He's a big star!
Oh, is he?
Yes! In case he wants to be on the show.
He just seems like the kind of person that somebody at a network believes is a big star that we insist on seeing in television, so they keep putting him in one bad show after another. Who cares about Christian Slater anymore? Is he a draw at all for you on television or in movies?
I think he can be good. He can be good in the right project.
What was the last thing you saw him in that was decent?
Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's funny on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah.
Oh, did he have a cameo there?
Yeah, yeah. Him and Larry got into a fight over how much caviar he was taking.
Oh,
look at all the caviar you're taking. Look at how much. Leave some for the other people. How about that?
That's right.
I don't know why Larry sounds like Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld was there.
Yeah. Let's see if we got a winner for my trivia question.
We do.
Jeff?
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? What
good, man.
Two superheroes did Kevin Smith write feature film screenplays for?
Okay, that would be Superman and the Green Hornet.
The Green Hornet, that's right.
Yeah!
Both of those. Neither one was produced. Congratulations, Jeff. Hold on, we're going to give you the details, but you're going to see Kevin Smith's new movie, Red State, and the Q&A with the cast and the director himself this Saturday night at the Wiltern Theater in Los Angeles.
I am super stoked. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Are you asking the Garmy to do anything in particular when your face comes on screen Saturday night? Is there a code word, or is there something they're supposed to, you know, supposed to yell? Or
just give me the high sign. They know what it is.
Okay. The high sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
They know, dude.
There is no high sign. I don't want anybody saying anything during the movie because it's embarrassing. You can go if you'd like to come. I think there's still tickets available, I believe, for the Wiltern Show. You can go to Coopersdell.com to buy tickets or LiveNation.com.
Here's what you do every time you see Ralph Garman's face.
Yeah! No, don't do that.
Yeah!
And, of course, tomorrow night, Friday night, Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the John Lovitz Comedy Theater. You can go to BabbleOnRalph.com for details on how to get tickets for that as well. It's a big Kevin Smith weekend.
Yes, it is.
Then he's got that auction on Sunday for all of his props he's auctioning off. So, if you like Kevin Smith, it's a good week.
Does he have a drug problem or something?
No.
Or what's going on?
He's just raising money to make movies.
He's playing drugs.
Is he going to sell his Star Wars action figures?
Today's celebrity birthday is James Garner's 83 years old today. Movie director Francis Ford Coppola turns 72. Jackie Chan is 57. Russell Crowe turns 47 years old today. And Bill Bellamy of Last Comic Standing and Fastlane is 46. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Very excited about our next guest. You know, there are very few ways to get the audiences riled up. I mean, free chocolate is one. They'll come down for that. They'll call for that. The other is you got a dream interpreter in the studio. That gets people's attention because everybody has dreams and everybody is puzzled by their own dreams. What do they mean? Dr. Michael Lennox joins us here in studio.
Hey,
on the Kevin
good morning.
Hey, Doc. How are you, man?
I'm great today, actually.
Are you a real doctor, or are you like Dr. Drew? You just gave yourself the name Dr.
Dr. Drew is a real doctor.
And people think you went to medical school.
I am also a real doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a psychologist. I did go to many, 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 many years of graduate school to earn that title.
Fantastic. Okay. We're going to be taking calls, and I've got a bunch of emails, and we've got a lot of ground to cover in the next few minutes about dream interpretation. But let's start with this.
Yes.
I respect very much how much time you've spent studying this subject, and I'm sure you give a great deal of comfort to people when you interpret their dreams. You make the mystery go away with your interpretation.
Indeed.
How does one know that the interpretations are accurate? There's nothing really to compare it to say, yes, I was right. There's no way to prove that,
right? That is an absolutely brilliant and valid question. And it's in the aha. If the dreamer doesn't respond, then it hasn't landed.
Okay.
You know, this is an interpretation, which means it's open to interpretation. So there is no wrong way to interpret a dream. There's no wrong way to work with a dream.
Then couldn't we all be dream interpreters? Couldn't I just make something up with everyone?
Another great question.
All right.
The difference between what I do and what someone else would do is this is projection. If you hear a dream from somebody else, it's going to spark an idea in you about you and your life and your experience.
I see.
And you're going to say, oh, that means la, 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 la.
And it always ends up sex with Megan Fox. That's where mine always they all lead there.
Indeed.
So.
And what I do and what I try to teach people to do is to manage their way around the projection so that you go into universal archetypes as opposed to what I'm thinking when you say, you know, I dreamed of, you know, Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Okay. But Kevin brings up a great example of a dream that I will ask you about. If Kevin is frequently dreaming that he has sex with Megan Fox. There's no mystery to that. That's just in his subconscious. That's something he wants to do. That's all that is, right?
Or is it? Does it mean it's going to happen?
That's my question.
Well, you know, it certainly could happen.
Okay,
it's not
good.
Out of the realm of possibility.
It is, yes, first it is. Of all.
Yes, it is.
It is out of the realm. But,
but no. There's also things going on there in a sort of archetypal, you know, language. You know, having sex is about joining and integration. And Megan Fox is sort of a very good sort of example of the ultimate of, you know, feminine principle. So there's something going on about you when you have a dream about having sex with Megan Fox, mm-hmm. that it's about sort of rising to the highest you can be. If you want to take the sex
never gonna happen.
Out of dreams.
Oh,
right?
Bummer.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
That's only my
we
dreams.
Are sexual beings, and so our dreams compensate also.
Right.
So that you having sex with Megan Fox in your dreams might also be helping you feel sort of full and whole and total and virile and, you know, in your
that's band. Interesting. That's interesting. You've probably spent a lot of time looking into the how the brain works,
yes.
how everything connects
yes.
up there, the synapses and whatnot. Are there some dreams that are just random images that are just floating around up there? They don't all necessarily have to tell a story or have to mean something more, you know, more deeper than that?
What I would say is that all dreams are just random brain activity. And all dreams mean something. Because there's two things going on there. One is, and this is what we know about in the world of science, we're very, very clear about the sort of brain is firing and going through the data of the day and storing stuff that's unnecessary and keeping stuff that's important up front, turning it into memory. And if we didn't do that on a regular basis, we'd have a psychotic episode and that would be the end of our sort of conscious, you know, appropriate living.
Right.
That's happening. At the same time, there's this more mysterious element of the unconscious and conscious mind opening up and sort of talking to each other. And this is not provable by science, but certainly psychologists appreciate that and have since the time of Freud.
Sure.
And, you know, I sort of consider myself half scientist and half mystic. So I appreciate both sides of the equation.
Do we dream every night, whether we remember it or not?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said,
never remember dreams.
Well, you know, and it's a function of a particular person's wiring that some people, just like some people,
wiring.
Have better memories than others. You know, some people just have better dream memory than others. And everybody could be trained to remember more effectively, more accurately.
We're going
to
take your calls in a minute. 1-800-520-1067. If you have a dream that you would like to interpret it, I would like to run one by you. And this is a weird phenomenon to me that I have a dream. It's probably the same dream like every couple of years.
Okay.
But all of the details are the same.
Great.
And the outcome is the same.
Okay.
And it's bizarre because
this has got to do with Megan Fox?
No. Oh. I wish. It's about my dad. Very different.
Okay.
My dad and I are in Mexico.
All right.
And we're trying to get into the United States.
Okay.
And we're shooting at people and people are shooting at us. And that's how it always ends. And we never make it. What?
Okay. Well,
and then I have it again 2 years later. I go, what could, why would I?
Okay, certainly you and your
I was born here. My dad was born here.
Got
it. Makes sense.
You are, we all are sort of a function of who our parents were and what
right.
our relationship with our parents was all about.
So what was that? What is that?
Well,
what
so
would that
being
tell you?
Disenfranchised, that is being in another country, not in your place of origin and wanting to get back is not unlike any kind of experience in life where we don't feel we're in at home, at center, that we want to get back to some sort of semblance of like normalcy.
But we never win the gun battle.
Well,
that troubles
but,
me.
Hello, isn't that like life sometimes?
Yeah,
sometimes
but,
when we're, and so maybe every couple of years when you have this dream, you're having a life experience where you don't feel quite grounded in the center of your life. You feel a little disenfranchised.
Right.
You feel like you have to fight or get your sort of masculine attack mode on in order to be successful. And so you're hearkening in your unconscious mind back to that father in you, the authority figure in you, the gun in you, the part of you that could tap into pure masculine power to get back into the country of origin, back to home.
Huh.
And dreams
I hate
help
to say it,
compensate.
It that might makes sense to me. I'm scared by this now. That really does. That's a reasonable interpretation, doctor.
Why, thank you very much.
Dr. Michael Lennox is our guest on the Kevin Bean Show. His book, by the way, is out now called Dream Sight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream. You can get that at Amazon.com. And in the next break, after we take your phone calls, we are going to give you a telephone number and a website address for the doctor so that you can contact him on your own, too. All right, your call's coming up next. 1-800-520-1067. Ask a dream interpreter on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking to Dr. Michael Lennox. MichaelLennox.com is his website. He is a dream interpreter. His book is available through Amazon.com called Dream Sight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream. In fact, it's your time right now
Don't
to
make
ask,
me play it. Don't make me play. Just
to
say it.
Ask a dream interpreter. Oh. Hit it, Steve.
Strange dreams are made of this.
Oh my.
Sometimes
oh.
I don't oh. have a pee-pee.
interpreter.
We're going to ask him.
A dream interpreter.
Yeah. We asked him to re-record that yesterday, and he said, are you out of your mind? That's perfection.
It is his best intro ever. Let's go to Dan real quick on line three, 1-800-520-1067. This is one that I've gotten several emails about this morning. Apparently, it's a very popular dream. Dan, hi. You're on with the doctor. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
Lisa May.
Good morning.
That was the worst theme song ever.
We're going to ask
a dream interpreter.
I have recurring dreams, actually, that I don't have any teeth.
Teeth?
You don't have any teeth.
Yeah, in my dreams, I just don't have teeth. What's that about?
Yeah, this is a very common recurring dream. I would say this is about the fifth or sixth most common.
Wow.
So it's one that I've heard thousands of times. Well, probably not thousands, but certainly many, many
hundreds.
What
does it mean?
Well, teeth do a couple of things for us. They help us process food, so they represent nurturance, self-sustenance. They attract love by revealing them in a smile, and they also protect us by revealing them in a snarl. So without sustenance, love, and protection, you've sort of lacking the security base of your life. So very often people will have this dream when they're trying to sort of rally their sense of security. So it's a recurring dream that's processing the stress of those moments in life when we're feeling less secure than others.
It does seem like a lot of, thank you very much for the call. It does seem like a lot of dreams come out of stress, comes out of the things that are on your mind
absolutely.
As you fall asleep.
First
right?
of all, life is brutal. Life is stressful. Dreams compensate and bring us to balance. So that's why we have recurring dreams, and they're recurring because the brain is very economical. It's going to use an image that's easy and repetitive to get to. And
it's like lazy. Our brains are lazy. That's what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. That's a possible way of looking at it.
Is falling the most common dream?
Absolutely. In fact, falling is the most common dream image of stress because it's the one fear that we're actually born with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, every other fear we made up. Well, think about it. We are born into gravity.
Right.
And so it's the only thing that can really happen to you initially as an instant human being.
But do you understand it as a baby when you're... One, you don't know what's happening.
No, but it would be the thing that you'd be terrified of because... There's that sense of out-of-controlness that you would feel, just as a person, an adult, would feel that out-of-control sensibility when they were falling. So would a baby. And it's the only thing that's really dangerous initially. And of course, eventually, starvation and all those other things would be dangerous. But as in terms of popping out and that first, you know,
that's it.
Breath,
yeah,
it's the only thing that can really harm you, other than maybe a murderous physician.
Interesting. All right, let's try Jason on line 8. He's got something that's a little bit more specific. Jason, you're on with Dr. Michael Lennox. Ask a dream interpreter.
Hold on a second. Wait. I'm sorry.
We're going to ask
a dream interpreter.
All right, thank you, Jason. I want to borrow that. Can
I? It's yours.
Yeah, thank you.
Jason, go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I had good morning, by the way.
Hi there.
Yeah.
I had three really, really vivid dreams while I was having brain surgery, and I'm just wondering if they meant anything because they kind of had a religious connotation to them, but I felt...
Wait, the dreams happened while you were literally having brain surgery, or the dreams were about brain surgery?
Oh, no, I was having brain surgery.
Wow, and you had three dreams during that.
Yeah.
Does that make any difference?
Well, absolutely. In fact, I've had I've interviewed people in similar positions before. So, yes, what I would say to you is that absolutely you're having a life sort of threatening invasion of your brain. And what are you dreaming of? Religious experience, that kind of uplifting, I'm connected to something much greater than myself dream. I might die right now. And it's also possible that parts of the brain are being stimulated by the actual physical surgery itself that is tapping you into the sort of bigger picture of I'm connected to a greater energy. And this is not the first time that I've heard of people either with brain surgery or brain injury having dreams that were absolutely phenomenal in nature.
I gotta have brain surgery. That sounds cool.
Thank you for the call. How often is it, doctor, that somebody dreams something that turns out to be a precursor to what's actually going to happen in their life?
You know, it's... I'm hearing more and more of this lately, so it's interesting to me that people are telling me this more and more and more. It happens all the time, but it's something that if it happens to you, you know it. It's been happening to you all your life, and it's usually pretty innocuous for most people. It's like walking down the supermarket aisle and some lady trips in front of you and you go, oh, wow, I dreamt that. The other night. And that's fairly common. Less common is the precursor to actual events. And I have only heard that reported from people who said, yes, I've dreamed this all my life, that when somebody dies the day or two before, I know it. And my mother had the same experience. And that's an important key, that people always, when they tell me this, they always say, my mother had the same experience. Because I think it's a genetic let's think to be open to that kind
of. Let's take James. We're unfortunately running a little low on time. James, what's your dream?
Yeah, I have this dream where this angel comes through this wall, sits at the end of a table, points at me, and says, "You're next," and then I wake up.
Sweet.
Wow. Okay. Is this a recurring dream? This happens more than...
I've had the dream for about 5 years, and usually every couple of months I have it.
Okay, great. Well, so you're not dead, which means the angel isn't saying you're next to die.
Or it's a very spotty angel.
Very, very sort of, you know, hectic schedule for this angel, and he's, you know, jumping in the gun.
You're next, so what would it mean?
Well, I would say that it's a way of your unconscious pointing you and saying you maybe want to think about the spiritual side of life. You maybe want to have a little higher level of thought than sort of the mundane, stressful thoughts. You know, an angel represents sort of the, you know, the spiritual side of life. So it may be much more about sort of spiritual sensibility than a precursor to death.
Interesting. Doctor, going back to Kevin's having sex with Michael Fox dream for a second.
Hey, take it easy. You said Michael.
He did.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at Michael Lennox's name right. Going back to that dream, should someone be held accountable for their dreams? In other words, like if Kevin's wife were to get angry at him for having a dream about having sex with another woman, is that fair or is it completely out of his control?
It's common for the spouses to get mad. Sure. It happens all the time. But of course not. Of course not. In fact, Kevin's wife, are you married, Kevin?
Yes.
Your wife should be happy that you're having dreams or having sex with Megan Fox, because it's basically going to help you stay monogamous and committed.
Right. Interesting. And the follow-up to that would be, can you learn to control your dreams at all? And if so, how?
Well, there is a school of thought that says, yes, I can become more lucid in my dreams. I can control them. And there are books on the subject out there. You know, what I think about that, you know, listen, I've devoted my entire life to the study and the experience and the interpretation of dreams. I've had a handful of lucid dreams, and they are really fun and exciting to have. And I've never been able to control them.
Okay.
So
okay.
Maybe you can, maybe you can't. I don't know.
We're running low on time, so I'm just gonna read these out. Just give me a couple of seconds.
Sure.
If what first comes to your mind. Always walking up and down stairs.
Stairs lift us or lower us to a different level. So they are about seeking higher guidance in your consciousness or going to a lower level to explore.
Joe, recurring dream of going to school in underwear.
Okay, that's about being vulnerable, and in school is where we first sort of, you know, hit up against responsibility and accountability.
Dave, chasing giant penny has since kid.
Oh, God, I could really go somewhere awful with that, but I that could just be about chasing abundance, chasing, you
Miriam,
know, money.
Dreams of hitting others but causing no damage.
Okay, that's about aggression and expressing aggression but not wanting to have it have an impact. So there's probably silent aggression that, you know, this person is getting out in the dream without, you know, challenging.
All right, my last question for you, Doctor. I'm sure you saw Inception. Is it possible to have a dream within a dream, or can you only
have
one at a time?
Oh, I absolutely. In fact, I had an apocalyptic dream. Right before the nuclear problems in Japan about nuclear explosions. And in the dream, I was asleep in my bed and going, well, I'm dreaming because there I am asleep in the bed. And I actually woke up twice. So, yeah, it happens all the time.
Hmm. All right. Let me give out the information if you want to get further consult with Dr. Michael Lennox. The website, first of all, is michaellennox.com. And you also take phone appointments. And I guess what you do is you talk to them on the phone and you record it and then send a copy of the tape in the mail so they can research it or refer to it later. And that telephone number is 310-585-8302. You'll never remember that, but you can just go to the website, michaellennox.com, and go to amazon.com to buy the doctor's book called Dreamsight, a Dictionary and Guide for Interpreting Any Dream. This was fun, and I know our listeners go crazy for stuff like this, so please, let's do it again soon.
Absolutely.
Can we?
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're in a very scary time, my friends, when teenage girls can kick our butts. It happened in Sucker Punch. It happened in Kick-Ass. And it looks like it could certainly happen in this new movie that opens everywhere tomorrow called Hannah. We are very excited to welcome to the show for the first time Saoirse Ronan, the star of the film, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Saoirse. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, guys. How are you?
We're good. Hope you enjoyed a little Foo Fighters while you were waiting for us, a little on-hold music. That's the way all businesses should run, with Foo Fighters on hold, right?
It was awesome. I wasn't sure who it was. The song went on forever, though.
Yeah, not long enough for me.
It was great. They're going to be playing at an Irish music festival in the summer, so I'm hoping I'll get to see them.
They've
They're
got
really
a new album.
Brilliant.
You really have to see them.
They do.
Fantastic, yeah.
Oh, the new album, too,
yeah,
is great.
Yeah, Good Life. Yeah.
Let's talk about Hannah, and what an unbelievable career you have had so far, you know, with movies like Atonement and The Lovely Bones. But I don't even imagine, even in your career, that you could have been prepared for what you probably had to go through to play this particular character.
Definitely, yeah. No, I had to start training a couple of months before we began shooting. And it was actually brilliant. It took a while to get used to going into the gym every day and even getting used to training in martial arts as well. But you kind of get into a rhythm, and it's pretty empowering after a while, actually.
Now, tell people your character and why you need to know how to fight.
Sorry, say that again.
Tell people who your character is and why you need to know how to fight.
I play a girl called Hannah who was raised by her father in the forest in complete isolation from civilization. And she's been trained and bred to become a killer. And she's sent out on a mission to kill a CIA operative called Marissa Ziegler, who Kate Blanchett plays. If she finds out, which she will, that they're both still alive, Hannah and her father, they will have to be killed. So they need to get to her.
So it's kill or be killed. You have to get to her first.
Yeah, and basically that's what she's been trained for her entire life.
The stuff that I've seen in commercials for the movie where you're in the forest, I mean, it looks like you're in the remote Arctic Circle or something like that. Did you really have to go to a remote location to film this stuff, or are you actually just in the backyard of a Hollywood movie set?
No, it was all real. We went to Finland, actually. That was the first place we shot in for about a week and a half. And it was...
Sure.
Yeah, it was really cold. But it's so beautiful there, though. And I had a day off, one of the days that we were there. So I went on a husky ride, which was gorgeous. And I could have done it for, like, 3 days. It's an amazing place. Yeah.
Did you go visit Santa Claus when you were up in the Finnish Arctic Circle like I did last year?
Oh, damn, I didn't. I should have, but I didn't have time.
She's more mature than you are, B.
maybe that's what it is.
Was he asking about you?
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. He didn't bring you up, but perhaps another time. Were you? You've been able to work with a lot of great directors and actors in your career so far. But when you're in a movie with Eric Bana and Cate Blanchett, I mean, that just must be like a dream come true for a young actress to be able to be toe to toe with people like that.
It is, yeah. No, it's a great experience to be with people who are so good at what they do and have been in the game a long time. And the best thing about the two of them is that they're very down to earth people and just really nice to be around. And it's just kind of a bonus that they're terrific actors too. So it was lovely to spend some time with them.
Let's hear a taste of the movie Hannah. We have Saoirse Ronan on the phone, star of the film. It opens up everywhere tomorrow. Listen up. You'll want to go see this one.
You're dead right now. I've killed you. You were half asleep.
I'll do better next time.
Tell me again.
Adapt or die.
Think on your feet.
Even when I'm sleeping. I'm ready.
All you have to do is flip that switch. It tells Mr. Riegler where we are. Only you can get close enough. She won't stop until you're dead. Oh, she is.
Come and find me.
Oh, you scare me so much.
Oh, that was quite a scream there.
You scare me so much.
Yes, you will never be mugged once this movie comes out. You're going to be able to walk down any street in the world with jewelry all over you and have no fear.
I just hang out in dark alleyways now, no problem.
Just looking for
no
a fight.
No one comes near me.
I love it.
Come on, bring it on. I'm here. Well, the movie does look awesome. Congratulations on it. It is called Hannah, opening everywhere tomorrow. And thanks a lot for joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show, too.
Oh, thank you. Nice to talk to you.
We had fun.
Hurry in today to participating Napa Auto Parts stores to get your free Napa camouflage racing hat. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
That's dumb.
What? It's the world famous K-Rock at 8:53.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. And then, hey, Ralph, do me a favor. Could you? I'm in the mood for a zombie movie, but I want it to star little people. Can you help me?
Oh, gosh. I wish there was something I could... Oh, wait a minute. How about Night of the Little Dead?
That's what I'm talking about.
Night of the Little Dead.
If only it starred Penn Jillette and one of the guys from Mythbusters, too. Then it would be perfect.
Can't wait to talk to the director.
Oh, tell me about it.
Coming
bitches
up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Now, though, time for the Showbiz Beat.
Matt Lauer is leaving the Today Show. First, we heard this week that Meredith Vieira was not going to re-up her contract when it expired in September of this year. Now, sources over at NBC are saying Matt Lauer wants out of his contract when that expires next year.
This is crazy. I mean, the Today Show makes so much money for NBC. They can't really afford to lose everybody.
It's the monster of all the daytime morning right. news shows. Today is
because
really...
they got all that wedding that royal wedding coverage. Sure. That's why.
Well, that's why I'm thinking Matt and Meredith are jumping ship. They just can't take any more wedding coverage.
Can't take it.
They're just burnt out.
Must quit.
So NBC is scrambling now. Who are they going to find to replace Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira? Guess probably it's got to be Psycho Mike.
Sure. Got to be.
Yeah. Got to be Psycho Mike. Replaces everybody else. Yeah. Jennifer Garner is working on a new potential movie franchise for Disney. And this is interesting. I think this could work.
This will fly?
I know, Kevin, I know what a big Agatha Christie fan you are.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I know you probably don't know who that is.
I do. She writes those novels. the whodunit, right? She's the whodunit.
She does miss very right. well. Very well done, Kevin. She was a big-time mystery writer, a British mystery writer, created several iconic fictional detectives, like Hercule Poirot, the Belgian detective. I think everyone on the Orient Express killed this person. also, Miss Marple. Was a invention of hers. Now, Miss Marple was a old lady. You would hate these books, Kevin. She was an old lady who was kind of like, remember Angela Lansbury in Murder, She Wrote?
I remember that it existed, yeah.
She was like a doddering old lady, at least she appeared to be on the outside, but inside she had a steel trap mind and she would solve mysteries wherever she went.
No.
Now, Jennifer Garner is going to play an updated, obviously much, much younger, Miss Marple in a new series of films for Disney.
Are they going to rename her?
No, she's going to be Miss Marple.
That's not a good name.
It is a good name.
All right.
Because here's what they're thinking. If Sherlock Holmes could suddenly be Robert Downey Jr. and be an ass-kicking, explosion, big-budget action-adventure movie star,
right.
Why can't we take an old English broad detective and give her a little spruced up and then have that be a smash hit.
But they don't
well.
Want to spruce up that name.
Miss Marple is going to be spruced. Miss Marple will be spruced because you still want that identifying factor of someone that people can recognize. Mm. You don't want to lose all the Miss Marple fans.
No. but Ralph, hasn't Agatha Christie, I mean, her name is not exactly on the lips of moviegoers. Hasn't she been dead for decades? Like, I can't even remember her ever being alive in my
yes,
lifetime.
Yes, sure. But so is Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote the Sherlock Holmes books. I mean, those yeah, books are even
yeah,
older.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
look at the success they had with that, with Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr.
I guess. Why write something new when you can essentially do the same movie but put a name on it some people have heard of?
Some
I guess,
people
is what
have heard of. Yeah.
Right.
Miley Cyrus. She's back on Twitter. Did you know that? She's back on Twitter.
No.
Well, I follow her.
Shit.
I like to stay current.
Let it go, dude. Let it go.
Tell me you're just tell me
He's
you're kidding.
Not kidding.
Tell me you're kidding.
I'm not kidding because she's back on Twitter. I got to see what she's up. Although I lost faith in her because she joined Twitter because she loves Charlie Sheen so much. And then I realized I don't have anything in common with Miley Cyrus anymore. We're growing apart.
Wait, you realized that when?
When she started tweeting about the reason she was back is because she loves Charlie Sheen so much and didn't want to miss it.
But before that, you thought you had a lot in common with her.
I did.
you.
Miley Cyrus is back on Twitter. She said the reason she returned to... Oh, never mind. Bean already did that.
Yay!
Not my fault.
No, it isn't, Dave. That's the one thing that hasn't been your fault. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor James Garner, who, of course, is Jennifer Garner's dad. A lot of people don't know that.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's
They've
true
got the same name.
Right.
Well, how else can you explain it?
Maybe they just have the same name.
You've got a point.
Oh, wait a minute. James Garner, movie and TV actor, is 83 years old today. Movie director Francis Ford Coppola celebrates his 72nd birthday. Jackie Chan is 57. Russell Crowe is 47 years old. And actor Bill Bellamy from Last Comic Standing and Fast Lane is 46. I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome Showbiz B.
Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin Avine Show. Ralph, I'm glad you're here with us because I know you love the zombie movies.
Yes.
As do
I. And you brought up a new zombie movie that's in the works right now last week. And then you heard from the people who are making the movie? That's pretty cool.
Nope.
All right. That's not what happened at all.
No, I heard about this movie and then we tracked down one of the filmmakers because we wanted to talk to them so badly.
Night of the Little Dead.
Yes.
I'm in on.
See, I love the zombie movies that have a little bit of cheese on them. I like them a little bit high concept, perhaps a little low rent. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And this has got a great hook to it. It's Night of the Little Dead. It's a little person zombie.
Okay.
Which we haven't seen before.
One of the co-directors is on the phone. Frank Ippolito joins us. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. Thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, good morning.
Now, where are we in the process? Have you already made it? Are you just making it?
Yeah, we made the short. We shot it in January, and we're in post-production right now. We finished editing it, and we're doing the sound design and the digital stuff.
How long is the short?
It's about 15 minutes, I think.
Now, is it a short first because it's about little people? Is this some sort of meta joke?
No, it's just that's all we can afford to make.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. Okay.
It's expensive.
Take us back to that aha light bulb moment where you realized this movie had to be made.
It was about 4 years ago. My friend Charlie Kyoto and I were working real late one night, and we came up with a crazy idea. And then I have a friend of mine that I make short films with named Zeke, and we just decided this is the next one on our list.
Now, Frank, your background is in special effects and makeup, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and didn't you do some work on Pirates of the Caribbean, and maybe that's how you met Martin Kleba?
Yeah, that's actually where I did meet Mary.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Martin is the little person who stars in the Pirates of the Caribbean films. He was also in The Cape on NBC. And he's your zombie, right?
Absolutely. He's pretty badass.
How many little people zombies do you have in the film?
We have two.
That's it?
That's not much of an invasion.
They are hungry. They are hungry.
I can kill them both with one kick.
Oh, you think. Wrong.
You got to have them like ants. They got to be coming out of everywhere.
Well, I have to admit, Frank, I'm a little underwhelmed that the zombie invasion is only two.
Look, it's a short, and he's working on a limited budget. Give the guy a break.
You put him on the other one's shoulder, and they don't even measure up to one human being. Come on,
well,
how scary can that be?
Hopefully there's a badass producer listening, and he'll give us money to make the feature.
Exactly.
We have the feature script done, and we're ready to go.
Little people are expensive, Kevin.
I didn't know. Where do you get them? 99-cent store?
No, there's a farm up north. You got to go up there and get them by the truckload. But by the pound, they're expensive.
Frank, I always feel bad for the people. Even when I'm watching the Academy Awards and they're talking about the best, most respected short movies of the year, because there's not much of an outlet for most people to see. I mean, most people don't ever see the short movies that are made. That's a very, very tough way to go to even get the project out there and in front of eyeballs, right?
It's ridiculous. Unless your movie's about like penguins with cancer and it's shot on a flip, nobody wants to put it on the Oscars.
But Frank, the flip side of that story is that these days studios are less and less willing to take a chance on a script or an idea or a concept. And sometimes if you can do a short film or a presentation of your project, it can help sell the project and get the big version made, right?
Well, that's what we're hoping. Zeke and I have made a couple of short films. We made one last year with Neil Patrick Harris called Dracula's Daughters versus Space Brains.
Sweet.
And
that's awesome. And,
you do our kind of work.
Oh, these guys are my boys.
National Lampoon picked it up and put it up on iTunes, and we're still shopping that feature script around, too.
That's awesome. Now, tell us how you ended up with Penn Jillette in the movie, and is that because he's so huge it would make an even funnier contrast to your little people?
Well, that's kind of why we picked Penn, but my business partner, Zeke, works for Penn & Teller, and so he just walked up to Penn and said, hey, you want to be in our movie?
What's it called?
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, once Penn heard that, I'm sure he was in.
Pretty much,
how did you end up casting the dude from Mythbusters?
Again, Zeke, I had met him a couple of places, and we just kind of went out to lunch and said, hey, do you want to be in this crazy little short film? And he said, hell yeah.
Has Zeke met any hot chicks that he could put in this movie?
Well, I'm actually friends with a girl named Erica Taylor, and she is our hot chick in the movie.
All right.
Okay. Does she play the bartender there at the Grub and Grub?
Yes.
The Grub and Grub.
She is hot. Yeah, the Grub and Grub is like the diner / bait shop that is featured in the story where you can get grub and you also can get grubs for your bait. See what they did there?
Yeah, see how that works?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Look, we totally are in. We are excited about the project. The trailer is up at kevinandbean.com, and Ralph has written a very flattering post about it. And once you watch the trailer, then you can see a link to see some behind-the-scenes footage and whatnot. What can we do, if anything, to help you with this project?
My fear is that when Bean says we're in, my
my fear is that means nothing.
No, it just means that we love what you're doing. Right. We want to help you, Frank. But I don't know what is there anything that we can do for you short of this interview? Hopefully, getting the word out to maybe some of the Hollywood power players.
You know what? If I think of something, I'm definitely email you guys. Other than the post and this interview, this is great.
Bean, you wrote a check to a guy who takes pictures of corn.
Yeah,
for God's sakes, let's send some
open,
over.
Open up that dusty old wallet for Night of the Little Dead.
Come on, we can at least get one more little zombie.
Frank Ippolito is on the line. He's the co-director of Night of the Little Dead. That's the movie we're talking about. Have you considered going the Kickstarter route? Have you put yourself up on there so maybe your zombie fans around the world could make donations to get this thing built?
You know, I've seen a lot of people that go up on that thing, and not that many people get, huge budgets to make the feature version.
Not that many people have Night of the Little Dead.
That's right. Don't sell yourself short.
Oh. Hey, how do you do it?
I think, Frank, once people see the completed short, that people will be more than willing to make the movie. Because everyone we talk to about it and tell them the title, they're just really excited about it.
Well, I'll keep you guys posted as things.
Please do.
Unfortunately, not everyone has our taste, but if they did, this would be a great world.
I'm going to give a call to Roger Corman. He's got, there you go. This sounds like it's right up his alley.
Hey, he'll hire Ralph. He'll hire anyone.
Exactly.
Come on, we know that.
That's right.
All right, Frank, best to you and Zeke, man. Keep us posted for sure. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, bye now. You can see the trailer at kevinandme.com if you'd like to, and it's...
Night of the Little Dead!
Come on, Night of the Little Dead.
They're little!
They're small. They're not large.
They're dead!
End? Yeah, it ended. Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:39.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for Thursday. What's going on?
That does not sound smooth.
Yeah. Really?
One check. There we go.
Sorry. My bad.
Talk about being smooth.
We'll work this out. We'll get it down.
It's a new show.
I know.
There could be some growing pains. We're not going to be outstanding, a five-star broadcast right out of the gate. Give us some time to grow.
Growing pains like a twisted intestine. That's the kind of pains we have, growing pains.
What do you just means?
Lindsay Lohan!
Guilty.
She's not on trial today. She is actually making news for a big week for her, actually, in terms of her career. Earlier this week, I talked about the fact that she was in talks with producers about starring in a new movie about the Charles Manson and Manson family murders that happened in the late 60s, of course. Roman Polanski's wife, Sharon Tate, was murdered by the Manson family while she was pregnant, by the way. Pretty gruesome story. But Lindsay Lohan in talks about playing Sharon Tate in that feature film. And also today we found out that she's in talks with producers to play John Gotti's daughter, Victoria, in an upcoming movie about legendary mobster John Gotti, with John Travolta playing the role of John Gotti.
So. I don't usually source you on stories, but is this coming from her mom?
No, this is not Dina news. This is real-time news.
Okay, good.
So we'll wait and see, but this could be the beginning of a comeback for Lindsay. Can she stay sober, get out of legal trouble, and become a highly paid Hollywood actress?
I always thought she was a decent actress.
I did, too. I'm wishing her well. Look, in the wake of Charlie Sheen, in the post-Chuck world that we live in, I have a different opinion about a lot of the losers that you formerly used to pick on and cheer for their downfall. Now I want them to do well, because Charlie's the target of my wrath, really, these days. Sad news. Social Distortion drummer Casey Royer was sentenced to 90 days in jail yesterday. TMZ.com's got the story. He allegedly OD'd on heroin. Orange County prosecutors brought him up on one charge of under the influence of a controlled substance. He pled guilty in court yesterday, and they gave him 90 days. Prosecutors, I guess, was part of a deal, dismissed the child abuse and child endangerment charge. The reason those charges reared their ugly heads was because he OD'd on heroin in front of his 12-year-old son.
Wow, that's a whole different level of effed up. Unbelievable.
It just goes to show you the insidious depth of sickness that addiction can be. Being a parent myself, a new parent, I realize I can't imagine what it would take to have me do like something like that in front of my child.
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
And most people wouldn't.
You say you wouldn't. I say I wouldn't. However, I've never experienced the depths of addiction, so I can't tell you what I wouldn't do. But
you should get to it then. You need to start doing something so you can.
I have to get the heroin right away to see what I would actually do.
Yeah.
But it's just, that story just breaks my heart. Not to mention, he was a great drummer.
Yeah, that's
Not important now.
No, not so much. More legal news. In the Michael Jackson, Dr. Conrad Murray case, Conrad's defense attorney said yesterday during a pretrial hearing that Michael Jackson committed suicide.
Not my fault.
That's right. That's what Dr. Conrad Murray said. They claim Michael was about to go broke when he agreed to do the This Is It concert tour, and it was that, the pressure of financial pressures and also the fear of failure regarding those 50 shows that combined with a bad case of insomnia caused the King of Pop to take his own life. You mean just when he was going to solve all his problems with a 50-day tour, we would have paid a lot of money and he would have been rich again? And,
this guy's so shaky.
Yeah, he is effing
shaky. I haven't been following this trial perhaps as closely as you have, Ralph, but it sure seems like he's throwing out every possible answer to what happened.
Yes.
Everything except for he is guilty of malfeasance here.
Well, this is the quintessential defense attorney trying to establish any sort of reasonable doubt in the mind of a jury.
But according to everyone that we've talked to, just having that drug in his house is malpractice, let alone have giving him access to do it to himself if he wants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, I hear you.
That's crazy.
Look, if I was in that jury, he'd be in big, big trouble, but I'm not.
I'd like to sign up for that jury. Where do I go?
There is, I think, a kiosk.
Okay, good.
At the Glendale Galleria. Yeah, I think they're taking names there, I'm pretty sure. Right next to Bed Bath & Beyond, just to the left of Mrs. Fields Cookies, there's a little kiosk there where they're taking names.
Can you
jurors
be fair? Probably not.
Michael
All
Jackson
right, you're
case.
In.
So.
Yeah, I don't think they want people setting up who want to get out of jury so they convict a guy. I think that's how it works.
Okay.
It should.
Should work that way.
Should work that way. Yeah. Congratulations to Mariska Hargitay. Star of Law & Order SVU. She's got a brand new baby girl. She and her husband, actor Peter Herman, adopted a baby named Amaya Josephine, who was born about a week ago. Was that the name given to the baby from the birth parents, or was that the adoption name?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know how that works.
You shouldn't be stuck with that if that's what they named it in the hospital.
If you,
but you I, know, the baby's mine now. It's,
right.
Now it's Sue.
Let's rename.
Now it's Betty. I'm leaving Amaya behind.
But you're not going with Betty either, by
Probably
the way.
Not.
No. I do applaud her, though, for being a hot chick who adopts, which is what our advice is always on this show.
Yes.
Is don't screw up your own body by having a baby. Go ahead and let somebody else carry it, right?
No. Don't. Oddly enough, we don't want you to damage the baby maker. Isn't that funny? It's called the baby maker, and yet we don't want you to use it for that purpose.
Why do all women? We want to keep it in the wrapper.
Why do all women hate being?
Keep it in the wrapper.
I'm just saying, we want it unused. We don't want it to give birth, is what I'm saying.
You want it mint condition collectible status?
Exactly.
Exactly. I see what you're saying.
That was not said well.
Nope. There may be trouble in the newly blossoming romance of Scarlett Johansson and Sean Penn.
She found out he was Sean Penn?
She found out he was 40 years older than she was?
No fun?
Apparently, friends of Scarlett Johansson are saying she's starting to discover he's a bit of a control freak.
Really?
Huh. Shocker.
How about that?
Not my fault.
Watches every move she makes, says a friend, and even follows her to work daily.
Oh,
wow.
There we go.
Wait, is he following me?
You know who's less happy about the relationship than even Scarlett Johansson? Sean Penn's 19-year-old daughter, Dylan, apparently isn't pleased about Daddy's new girlfriend because they probably went to school together. Tabloid National Enquirer says the 19-year-old thinks her father's having a bit of an old-fashioned midlife crisis.
That's nice that she's commenting on that.
Well, she's telling friends, and friends are telling them.
Oh, friends.
Right.
You know, there's those close friends who
sure
tell the tabloids what you're thinking and feeling.
Well, Scarlett Johansson certainly doesn't have a type if she can go from Ryan Reynolds to Sean Penn.
That's true. You know how you could lighten up that whole relationship, Sean Penn? If he did it like comedy and went all Spicoli?
Oh, that's a great idea.
We should recommend that to him next time we talk to him.
That's stupid. No one would say that.
Next time we want to kill an interview with Sean Penn.
Nobody would ever say that.
Does anyone have that audio?
No.
Do you happen to have that audio of...
No, we don't have time.
Well, since you asked.
Kevin talking to Sean Penn.
I do, in fact. Okay. Is this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. It changed the whole thing around.
not at all, Kevin.
No,
but I did.
Here's what I like about Bean is that
he's more than willing just to let me die. But when we have Sean Penn on the phone, he's got to jump in and go, okay, let's ask another question.
He's trying to repair the damage as quickly as he can. You know who Bean is? Bean's the guy in the hazmat suit in Japan trying to pump the radioactive water out of the nuclear reactor.
And I'm the meltdown?
Yes.
Oh,
you're the tsunami, and Bean is the guy trying to keep the whole country from melting down.
And when Bean's that guy, we're in trouble.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
I did feel like there was a very real chance Mr. Penn was going to slam down the phone after that question. That's why I always tried to get us kind of back on track.
Well, he's not known for being giddy. That's for sure, no. Sean Penn. He's not known for his playful side.
Here's my point. F him. Back to you.
Why F him? What did he do wrong?
Really? Where of all that entire conversation, where
himself.
Would you lay the blame?
I'm a serious artist. I'm serious.
He can be serious if he wants.
F him.
Wow. That is pointless.
And he was talking, if you remember, the movie we were interviewing about was Into the Wild, right? About a guy who goes up into the mountains and dies. Ralph, how giddy do you want him to be?
Do you think that any of my opinions have a point?
But that was more than usual.
Come on now, I'm just saying, F him.
Oh, you are just saying.
Back to you.
Stay on target, stay on target.
Come on, Red Leader. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor James Garner. He is 83 years old today. Rockford, Jim Rockford of the Rockford Files.
And FM, too.
What?
What's wrong with him?
Rockford?
Just saying that to bug you.
Oh. Francis Ford Coppola, one of our great movie directors, who, by the way, does not direct movies anymore. He just doesn't seem to be interested.
Former movie director.
Yes, one of the greats.
Yeah.
Now he makes wine. Hmm? Remember a couple years ago, I guess when his last film came out, the thing with, who was the guy?
You're not looking to me for answers, I hope.
No, but Bean will come up with it. What was the movie, Buffalo 66 or whatever, that star of that movie, writer, director?
Vincent Gallo?
Vincent Gallo. He did a movie with Vincent Gallo, a small independent film a couple years ago. And I had a chance to go to his house and interview. Remember I did the interview?
Oh, that's right.
Right.
And he said the process now of working in the film industry with the studios is so exhausting and so frustrating that he would just rather make wine.
Well, that's too bad.
It is too bad that you lose guys like that just by the sheer, just by wearing them down, by the sheer bureaucracy of what it takes to make a movie now, that you lose guys like Francis Ford Coppola. 72 years old today. Jackie Chan.
Hey!
Turns 57. Russell Crowe is 47 years old today. And Bill Bellamy of Last Comic Standing and Fastlane. I think he played Knopstick
in Fastlane.
Well, the guys in Fastlane all did like those made-up TV names.
Sure.
The two characters, I think, were...
what was he?
Truck and Milk. I think were the two characters. Flick and Plague. Clank and Flarb. I think we're the characters.
He was Flarb. You got that right. He was Flarb.
He does good work.
He is 46 years old today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have the host of Cash Cab, Ben Bailey, on the program.
How about that, Ben Bailey?
Put that in the file so
couldn't even
fast.
Hear it. There was applauding over it. It didn't matter.
Oh!
We heard it.
That was subliminal Friday.
No, it wasn't. It's Friday, so we got the movie beat. We have Dennis Quaid, the star of Soul Surfer.
Oh, yeah.
And in our studio.
He's not afraid about the Hollywood Hit Squad, is he?
I don't believe that's him,
though. Oh, okay.
In the studio, we have the star of Your Highness, Danny McBride. How about
wow.
that? So that's all. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.